Welcome to the Mustang Owners Podcast. And now your host, John Cole.
Hello, Mustang fans, and welcome to another Ford Performance Edition of the Mustang Owners Podcast. I'm your host, John Clore, and as the Enthusiast Communications Manager for Ford Performance, I hope that you are reading my efforts in the Enthusiast section of FordPerformance.com every week. And as always, my co-host is Mustang hobby guru Mike Ray, who also happens to be the president of Moxum, which is the Mustang Owners Club of Southeastern Michigan. And thanks to Mike, tonight our special guest is none other than race car driver and the vice president of Roush Performance, Jack Roush Jr. Mike, how did you get Jack Roush Jr. to appear on our Mustang Owners Podcast?
I always got to do a little begging, but no. Jack is awesome. And, you know, we've known each other for many, many years now. I had the pleasure and honor of working for him and at RPP and being the head of the event team there and, you know, heading up the Roush road crew. So we have a very, very good personal relationship. And I think me and Jack got along literally from day one, and it still continues the relationship to this day. And I'm very, very grateful for it.
Well, thanks, Jack. And welcome to our podcast tonight.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for the kind words, everyone. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, are you kidding? We've been chomping at the bit to get you on because we know that things have changed a little bit since the pandemic, and there's a lot going on in the aftermarket and Mustang world. And now, as you as VP of Roush Performance, and you're still racing. I mean, we just wanted to get a catch up session with you on, you know, how much of Roush Performance and how much of the aftermarket world and the parts, the work that you're doing with your family's business, and how much of racing is there a 50-50 mix? How do you keep all those balls in the air at the same time, Jack?
Honestly, it's mostly work. Racing is really, my racing program has really changed over the last few years, you know, just on that front alone. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, the last full season I had was probably 2018 for my own, you know, sports car racing. But I've also got back into karting with my son. He's really gotten serious about karting and other racing too. I mean, you should have him on the show.
Well, isn't that soon? Yeah, isn't that Jack? Isn't that the way you got started with your dad?
Yeah, exactly. So I started when I was six, and my dad was my crew chief. I don't know how I got that lucky, but it was between his drag racing program and his road racing programs. And there was a 5-year window in there where he didn't have a race team except for this little punk who was driving carts. And we had a lot of fun.
Can you imagine those other poor little kids with my dad's not like that?
Yeah. It's funny. My dad was super serious about it. We had a go-kart dyno, you know, he would do all crazy stuff with the setup of the vehicle. And I bugged him. I'd be like, Dad, you know, like all these other dads are racing, why don't you do it? And he's like, well, you know, son, I just want to make your kart fast. And I didn't let up, and I finally got him to race some too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Mike being the kid next to him? Your dad copped up some mini bike engine on your racer, and he's wrenching in his garage, and up pulls a cart that says Roush. Roush. Yeah. Here you go. Call mom, pack it back on the trailer, release it.
Yeah.
Well, just like your dad did for you, Jack Jr., I think it's appropriate that you spend that time with your son. And does he actually enjoy it? Does he like putting that pedal to the metal?
Oh, yeah. He's super into it. In fact, two of our other children have tried it. My youngest son for quite a while, and my second child, my daughter Cora, gave it a try. But, you know, they just weren't that into it, at least not right now. And, you know, I wanted to let them have a taste of, you know, a sport that's so important to our family. But at the same time, you know, I didn't want to push them to do it. You know, you to race, you really gotta be motivated and enjoy it, you know.
Well, hey, Jack, I think I was talking, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but when I last time I was talking to Dave Parasek, did you run into him at a track one time with his son?
I don't think so. Kevin,
I thought he mentioned that he ran into you at one of the races because his son does karting now too, I think. And I thought he mentioned that he had seen you or talked to you or something at one of them.
Kevin Groot, I've run into quite a few times.
Okay. Very cool.
I think I've seen Dave. Maybe he was there and I missed him. Or
okay,
I'm sure.
Yeah, very cool.
So, Jack, the racing part, you know, you do have a very big responsibility with Roush Performance and the parts that you got. You know, I think a lot of people still think of Roush as an aftermarket company with all your parts, but you know, your work with Ford as an OE supplier, you've got to feel that you've got an inside track when it comes to doing performance vehicles, because I mean, you're working right alongside the OE and you're making their stuff go.
Right. Well, absolutely. You know, it's a really special relationship that we're very fortunate to have. You know, what I always tell people is, and what I truly believe is that Ford makes great products. You know, they truly do. And when we put our packages on them, you know, it's not to, you know, make them better per se. They're already great, but we give our own unique spin and, you know, try to find our own niche within that and enhance it for more of a niche audience, you know, that really is into performance. It's a tough thing too, because, you know, what does that mean? You know, it can mean, you know, extreme off-road desert racing. Like with, you know, we have an off-road truck. So does Ford. Ford has a Raptor. We do not try to compete with a Raptor. The Raptor is, you know, the bus that you can get for what it is. Mm-hmm. What we do is we provide off-road capability and also, you know, really good towing capability as well. And, you know, try to fit that unique need that people might have with a package like that.
Well, Mike, didn't you come up with, you know, we were talking about people seeing, you know, I remember being at that meeting, by the way, at Roush when we met Jack Jr. and when the club was out there. But when you started working for Roush, Mike, didn't you like the coin, the partners in performance? I saw that on the back of one of your shirts.
Yeah, that was one of my claims to fame there is we really started to build. And I think that was one of the reasons I was brought into Roush was to try to really, you know, take that relationship to the next level, which I think we accomplished. And getting the Partners in Performance approved by Ford, which was finally approved by Jim Owens and by Henry Ford III. And they were all about it. And I got to spend time in the motorhome at Barrett Jackson talking to Henry about it. And he was asking how many vehicles we did a year. So I was kind of giving him the metrics on all that. And he was just blown away and didn't realize how big we actually were vehicle wise. Mm-hmm. And he was super, super impressed and completely gave his full blessing. So yeah, we had it on the back of our shirts and everything else. The Partners of Performance was there. Yeah, that was absolutely. And one of my favorite things. And you know, if you know me and anybody knows me and talks about any part of my career, my entire life, my favorite highlight of my entire career was when I was at Roush Performance.
Oh yeah. You lived and breathed it. And Jack, you have to know it. The excitement that you had when, I mean, being tied so closely with the hobby is really right up your ballywick being vice president. It's not just making the parts, it's marketing to the people that Mike works with.
Oh, absolutely. No, it was great working with you as well, Mike.
Speaking of that though, Jack, you know, you've got to make the parts, but then you got to know what to make and you got to know where the hobby's going and you've got to know what people want. So is it more of a marketing effort? I mean, are you embedded into the community? How do you guys, you know, kind of steer your way through all the changes and all the things that are happening in the aftermarket today?
That's a loaded question.
John's good for those.
Yeah. No, that's a really good question though. You know, I think that there, and I think you guys would agree, car culture is something that you're born with or, you know, that you get from a really young age. You can't really fake it. And it's really part of who you are. You know, in times, you know, Roush Performance, I think, is a unique division within our company in that, you know, it's focused on the enthusiast lifestyle and, you know, really servicing that. You know, I don't think that you can market or develop those products without that, you know, without that enthusiasm.
Yeah, you got to be in it.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting time right now, how, you know, what's going on with changes in the vehicles out there that appear to be coming up, and, you know, how is that going to change the enthusiast lifestyle? You know, what will resonate with people? You know, it's not entirely clear to me what the future is going to bring on either of those fronts.
Well, one thing you have kind of branched off, and Mike told me this back when, you know, he was slinging cars and running the Roush Road crew. The market kind of shifted from your Mustang products well into the F-150 product lineup, and now trucks, and now, Mike, it's Bronco, isn't it?
Yeah, Bronco, and Roush offers the Bronco kit, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And I can tell you, I drove one after the first one we put on, and man, you can really tell a difference. And I'm getting ready right now. Within the next week, I will have the Roush cold air kit installed on my Bronco, so that's coming soon too. So yeah, and it's always make great products, and you know, that's why I think I love the brand so much, is when you're passionate and you know that you can stand behind everything that you're building or trying to sell, it just makes it so much easier. And Jack, by you starting to come to the events, I can tell you at Carlisle, at least 15 people came up to me, because I don't know if you know, but the Roush Road crew still comes up to me a ton at Carlisle, and hey, Mike, can we take a picture, this and that, come see my car. And but they were all, their big topic this year was Jack Roush Jr. is here. And their faces were just so excited to know that you were actually there in person. So if you didn't know, that was a huge, huge, huge step in the right direction, and really made people's trip completely worth it just by you being there.
Oh, that's an honor. I don't know that I'm deserving of that, but no, that's really cool. Personally, I really enjoyed being at that event. You know, it's interesting what you just said earlier, you know, interest turning to F-150.
Yeah.
You know, maybe taking some away from Mustang, you know, going to that show, honestly, that's kind of hard to believe. The excitement around Mustang was really impressive. And actually, that was the first time I've been to that show, so I can't compare, but I was really impressed with the audience there.
Absolutely. And you know, Jack, another one, me, Kevin, and who else went with us? Me, Kevin, and I think Frank went down to the Truck Nationals one year when I was there, and we did that, and that was a huge hit. That's where we did we met with the group of enthusiasts, asked them questions, and you know, like a study course, and we did all that, and it was very, very well received. So that's one you probably should put on your list too, is to go to the Truck Nationals, because that was really, really good, and we had such a good turnout and such good feedback and all that on the whole Roush end.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jack, that's a good question that Mike brought up here, is like that whole shift. It's kind of easy when you're in the Mustang business, because you know that the iconic products that Mustang have put out over the years, it's legend, and you racing and race series with Mustang, you know, that all brings it to fruition when you do a product out of the market. You're out there, and you know the Roush Mustangs are well known in the enthusiast community. But then you shift to trucks, and you know, you didn't want to recreate a Raptor. You wanted, you know, Ford kind of abandoned when the Lightning was an SVT. Like, you know, I spent 10 years at SVT. And Mr. Coletti had a serious fondness for the Lightning pickup as a street truck. And when you filled that gap, was that your intention to have a Roush street truck for those guys that don't go off-roading? Was that your push on the first Roush pickup?
Oh, with the Nightmare?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
I mean, those guys like, just because you know, you have a truck doesn't mean you don't like performance.
Right.
But it's got to be harder to market to that crowd, because Mike, you and I both know the truck club community is far different than the Mustang club community, and
it absolutely is. But they still want it, and I've already sold in the last 8 weeks, sold 3 Roush superchargers onto F-150s. So you know, people want that power and they want that on there. So you know, it that niche fits. That's for sure.
So. an interesting story about the nightmare. I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think it was 2018. Maybe Mike, you might remember, but we had the nightmare truck and we really weren't pushing it as hard or, you know, like celebrating what it was that much compared to the off-road truck, just because it was a new niche and, you know, we really weren't geared up to offer as much support. But the interesting thing is that that ended up being the quickest production truck ever made at that point. Yep,
that is correct.
And once we really started to celebrate it, man, that thing really took off. I don't know if you've seen our Light Legend of the Nightmare video, but
yep. I was there for all that. Yep.
Yeah, that was really what turned the tides on that one.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a perfect example of how Roush can complement an OE when the OE makes a big shift from, you know, the performance truck being going all off road. And you filled that void quite nicely with Nightmare. And there's a huge market. People, you know, the whole truck industry kind of surprised a lot of folks where, you know, your everyday driver went from an American sedan to a pickup truck. And you can't deny the F-Series' popularity. The fact that you guys at Roush got involved so quickly and did such a great job, there's a lot of street truck people are so happy that you did that because, you know, Ford's now looking to Bronco. And do you see off-road still growing, Jack, or have we pretty much hit the pinnacle with all these SUVs?
That's a great question. You know, I wish I could answer that, but honestly, you know, it's a bit unclear right now. You know, I kind of feel, you know, my gut is telling me that, you know, things are going to go in cycles and we'll see Mustang, you know, take some of that market share back. But, you know, it's right now, I can't say for sure, you know, which way it's going to go. I don't know. Do you guys have any insight on that?
Well, if it's Mike selling Broncos, Mike, Mike did. Mike took one of the most successful, largest, and probably one of the most active Mustang clubs on the North American continent, and then decided after the Bronco came out, fully engaged with Moxum, to then start Boxum, the Bronco Owners Club.
That's awesome.
I mean,
over 1,000 members already.
That's craziness. But for me, Jack, I mean, when I was at SVT and, you know, we weren't able to make the next generation Lightning just as the whole thing was coming apart. I remember some researchers were calling. They said, well, who was on the PN96 Lightning team? And they said, well, go ask Clore. And so one of these research gals called me up and she was asking a bunch of questions. And I didn't know that there was a team dedicated to go look at a Raptor type off-road vehicle. Back then, what was it? 2-3% of the entire truck market actually took their truck off-road. Right. But so I was getting these questions. And one of the questions was, so how many people would you say take their Lightning off-road? And I said, do you mean on purpose?
you know, John, I got a question for Jack, and going back to your Coletti story, and Jack, I don't know if you know the answer, but you know the orange boss that's in the museum?
Yeah.
Did your dad have something to do with that with Coletti? Do you know?
I believe we made the powertrain for it.
Is that what it was? Okay, because yeah. I know that Coletti was heavily involved with that, but I know it's been in the museum forever, and it's just got that massive engine. So I didn't know what role your dad played with that to do it. I knew it had some involvement, but I didn't know to what extent.
Yeah, I think we were actually heavily involved with it. If not, yeah, I think we may have done pretty much all the work on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mike, John was up against John Moss, who was building some wacky Camaro, and he wanted some absolute show-stopping piece for SN95. And when he and Jack got together, Jack was over at SVT for a while, and they thought, what was the most iconic thing you could do? And they said, you know, a 429, a Boss 9, you know, is still the king of the hill. And, you know, don't forget, everyone, the Roush was wrenching. Our SVT engineering offices were in a Roush building, and we worked at a Roush 777, and we were our entire engineering team worked side by side with Roush engineers to create the SVT vehicle. So Jack came in and said, you know, what do you want to do? And when I heard they were going to take a Boss 9 and do a custom, you know, this is, trust me, they didn't have any fuel injection back in 1970, but just looking at that Boss motor was just unbelievable. And there is an old VHS videotape. I don't know, Jack Jr., if you've got it, of John running that thing. It was on Motor Trend television. It was a big deal. And I think, I don't know if we, I don't know if we broke a lifter or something. You know, it was called a draw. We ran against their monster Camaro, and that was a big deal. That car still, you know, that museum, Jack Jr., you've got to be kind of happy that your dad decided to keep some of these wonderful prototypes and some of the race cars that Roush Fenway, you know, all the great stuff. What an eclectic collection. I don't think enough people know about that, Jack.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not like a collection of cars, you know, where people just have enthusiasm about cars and buy them up. You know, it's walking through the museum or the Roush collection, you know, all of those vehicles have a very personal story, you know, with us personally, or, you know, with executives or friends that have, you know, brought their cars there. But it's interesting. It's kind of like going and, you know, visiting with family, walking through that museum. Funny thing is, I just walked a couple through the museum today, friends from Kansas that just happened to be in town, and you know, they're Roush enthusiasts and they've never seen it before. And it was pretty cool. Actually, we were talking about the Boss and looking at the ridiculous power numbers, and they were asking all about that as well.
Oh, that's one of my, I mean, if it's not my favorite, there's so many great cars and you can't even talk about them. But my bottom line for you guys is, you know, now we're being challenged in the hobby. You know, everybody's talking about EVs and Teslas, and, you know, you have Roush Clean Tech. You guys have been working all kinds of technologies, you know, when it comes to, you know, environmentally changing the landscape for the auto industry. Do you ever see Roush playing in that EV sandbox?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I think in the museum, there's still an EV vehicle that we did with Ford many years ago, like in the early 80s. But we've worked with, you know, different applications forever. And EV is something that we do have some experience in, and we're developing more capabilities around right now as well.
Well, Mike and I did a show when we had a cable access show right at the Roush Museum. Mike, do you remember that 1900s era EV that you and I were talking about back then?
Absolutely.
there were those EVs running up and down Woodward in 1910. I think the only problem they had with them back then was range anxiety and maybe the charging times. Of course, that hasn't changed a whole lot.
Right.
No, it's just good to know that, you know, Roush is on the front edge of all this stuff, because, you know, you are working alongside with Ford. But as far as the racing side, do you think that racing still has that, you know, it's not the win on Sunday, sell on Monday mentality. It's more the, you know, you've got technology you want to prove out. It's more of a wonderful way to prove out some of your technology, isn't it, Jack?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's an interesting part of racing. You know, I think some people might question, you know, are the younger generations going to be as into racing in cars as they have been in the past? I think we will see a revived car culture, quite honestly. And I think part of that is technology with, you know, Forza and, you know, other video games that gets people, you know, young people to hop in virtual cars and start to experience that.
You know, that's didn't you guys, weren't you running that I-Series racing? You know, you guys had, you were online and you were kind of a pioneer in that stuff.
We during the pandemic, there was, you know, at the height of the pandemic, the really scary part, there were no sports, as you guys can remember. The only thing that was being broadcast for live events was NASCAR with iRacing. And I, you know, we were watching this happen, and, you know, I talked with our team and I said, you know, why aren't why don't we do that ourselves? You know, start our own series and broadcast it online to entertain people, you know, kind of cheer them up from being locked down and all that. And it was really successful. We generated, you know, millions of views. You know, I think people really enjoyed watching it. And we actually continue to do that today. iRacing is an amazing simulator that I've used for many years before this for, you know, learning tracks and that sort of thing. But, you know, since the pandemic, I've, you know, just spent more time in the sim and plan to continue to do so, actually.
Well, you still plan on keeping that relationship with Mustang clubs, like the one that, like Moxham, and still plan on doing the traditional, you know, the big, wonderful big Mustang events, Jack, or now are you looking for different avenues?
I'd say absolutely. Mm. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Mike, we talked about this. I think our challenge in the hobby is trying to get young people involved, but Mike's got some pretty strong ideas on getting that, how that can happen. And we are still the ones with the cars and they still love coming to the shows. It's just, you know, trying to get them to interact and because they love the cars, you know, to say young people don't like, you know, classic cars is just 100% wrong. And Mike, we see them there. It's taking the next step in how to get them involved.
Correct. I agree. I agree with you 1,000%.
Well, what about, yeah, like the Stampede, Mike? I mean, a lot of young people there.
Absolutely, there is. I mean, and I think you said, like, as we said many times before, the number one question in all clubs across the whole entire country is how do we get the younger crowd involved? And I think that's the same with everybody else. How do we get them to buy Roush parts? How do we get them into a Roush vehicle? The OEMs and the aftermarkets and all the clubs and hobby and everything are all after the young people.
Right. And you know, it's brand awareness for you, right, Jack?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know how, you know, just people can, they know, you know, they see a Mustang and that's not a factory Mustang. And the Roush stage cars, all that stuff, you know, that it's resonant with them because the Roush name means something. And, you know, I guess it's a lot of responsibility because your dad is one tough cookie.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
He's got quite the history. And I don't know, is there a lot of pressure on you, Jack, with that? You know, you're the son of Jack Roush. I mean, is that a hindrance sometimes or does that help you out?
I, you know, can't complain about that at all. I feel very blessed and lucky in that respect. You know, I wouldn't say that there's pressure as much as very high standards.
Yeah.
You know, with that.
So does he get involved with you quite a bit? Do you go to him for advice? I mean, how is your relationship with him running the business?
You know, he's still super busy with all the NASCAR stuff.
Yeah.
I will, you know, I just had lunch with him today and we were, believe it or not, talking about potentially getting my son involved with a little engine program.
Wow.
Some projects for go-karts, but he was pretty excited about that as a little pet project. But, you know, he's super interested in all aspects of the business. You know, that he's never going to stop working. Yeah, there's no quit in him.
Well, there's no quit in you either. I'm so glad. Are you still going to try to get out on the track and do some racing, or is your business work going to keep you away from the racetrack a little bit more?
We'll see. Next year, I'm working with a team. Actually, a couple teams I'm talking with. I may do some driving with. My son's go-karting, you know, the esports stuff. I don't have a go-kart right now myself, but that may change at some point here. Unfortunately, my kart got stolen last spring. Got stolen from one of our buildings and I didn't replace it. My son went into the next class of go-kart racing and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to let my son do his racing and try to support him, you know, because it's going to be tougher for him. So that's really been my focus for karting this year, is supporting him. But those go-karts are a lot of fun. I don't know if you've had the chance to run any of those fast, like tag karts, but they are a blast.
Not karts like yours. Maybe you can talk Mike Ray into starting the Go-Kart Owners Club of 12 Piece Division.
Oh, I love it.
So, Mike, maybe
I got plenty of time.
You're right. Maybe you can help him out again, because Mike sure loves wearing his Rouse shirts, and we love seeing you at events, Jack, and you still have a big following. You were a huge, the Roush Road Crew, bringing all those Roush Mustangs to the first Mustang homecoming ever at the Automotive Hall of Fame the week of Woodward. They made a huge difference there, and having all those cars rolling up, you'll see coverage of that on FordPerformance.com to see that line of Roush Mustangs. Boy, it sure made a statement, and I hope, Jack Jr., that you can continue to make a statement with the Roush name in the enthusiast community for years to come.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Mikey, you've done it again. You brought the man out here, and you know, so he's gonna. I think it's a good idea to get your kid into. You know, how do you get youth involved in the hobby? You sit him in a go-kart.
Oh yeah,
It sure worked out well so far, especially if your last name is Roush.
That's right, Jack Jr., you're a genius. Keep the good work going. Mike, again, thanks for making the connection. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in on our Mustang Owners Podcast. And until next time, we'll see you down the road.